All right, my friends. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio. He's going to tell us about the movies coming out over the weekend and a Netflix show that maybe you want to miss, maybe you don't want to miss. He'll tell you. It's Paul Rudd. To the people, they love the Paul Rudd. The ladies,
I like the Paul Rudd.
Rudd. Yeah,
I do.
And all brought to you, Richard Roper, all brought to you by Archideck of Chicagoland. All right. Okay, so Maleficent, which may be the absolute worst title ever for a movie.
Maleficent. I know. I always, when I'm typing that one out, when I'm writing the review, I always remember to write, it's Maleficent.
Wouldn't it be fun to stand at the box office and listen to everybody ask for their tickets?
Yeah.
Two for Maleficent.
You know, I'm gonna, and it's interesting you mention that. I want a quick sidebar for you guys. This is very interesting, I found. Speaking of movie titles, you might notice if you go into certain theaters just the last week or so, and you know, like some of them have like 24 theaters, and you know, you got, on your ticket it'll say Theater 7 or whatever, but as you're walking by, you see like the little strip sign, little electronic sign telling you what's in every theater, mm-hmm. like, oh, there's a... Some of the theaters have stopped doing that, because that way you don't know which movie you can sneak... You're trying to sneak into a movie, you don't know which one you're sneaking into.
Ooh.
So they've turned off those signs for those little buggers that are trying to get two for one. So if you think like, oh, I'm going to go see Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to sneak into Zombieland, Double Tap, you might find yourself walking into Downton Abbey.
Ooh! Wouldn't
saying,
that be a surprise?
There's nobody shooting anybody in this. Spoiler alert. Just a little tidbit for you.
Then don't people who are legit going to that movie, how do they
just click
on the ticket?
Well, because your ticket will tell you. Yeah, so you know which theater you have to go to anyway. You don't need the sign telling you theater to.
Okay.
Because when you walk in, it's, you know, your ticket will say that, or they'll tell you, Theater 5, Anna. And then you go, oh, that's nice. I can go see this movie.
Okay.
But just look out for
that whole thing.
Going after those little buggers.
Hmm.
Don't be sneaking into extra movies.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So Maleficent, Mistress of Darkness. So 5 years ago, we had Maleficent, which was a clever idea. It was the story of Sleeping Beauty told from the point of view of the evil, really fairy, but you think evil witch who put the curse on Sleeping Beauty. That was Maleficent. She was the evil cursor.
Okay.
And Angelina Jolie played her. So she's got horns and wings and she's, you know, terrible. But she learns to love at some point. And now in Maleficent 2, she has raised Princess Aurora, who was going to be Sleeping Beauty, as her own, basically. She's her fairy godmother. She's come to love her. She's still got a little bit of a temper.
Oh.
But now Princess Aurora gets engaged to Prince Philip. Now, Princess Aurora has been living
He's too old for her.
Well, that's what I thought, you know, and plus he never got his due, right? So Prince Philip, he lives in the human kingdom, and then the Moors, where all the fairies and creatures and everything, they live across the pond.
All right.
So now that they're going to be engaged, Michelle Pfeiffer's evil queen, who is supposedly nice but is really evil, she invites the Maleficents over for dinner. You know how the in-laws have to meet after their kids get engaged or have a big dinner? So we got a scene here. So Angelina Jolie's Maleficent is the fairy godmother of or Princess Aurora, but Michelle Pfeiffer, doing the classic evil princess voice, is scheming against her.
I remember the story of a baby cursed to sleep and never wake up.
Really? Who would do such a terrible thing to an innocent child?
Well, there are many who prey on the innocent. I'm sure your kind would agree.
What do you mean, my kind?
She means humans. There are fairies missing from the moors.
What I'm missing is some wine.
Stolen by human poachers.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Someone gave the order.
Is it a kid's movie?
Trouble.
What the hell's going on
there? A lot
here?
Of trouble going on there. And you hear the young prince, like, I could just use some more wine. He's trying to keep the in-laws from arguing. But once fairies go missing from the moors, there's no going back.
I'm going to tell you something.
Right?
I think we had this exact conversation last Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
So it's coming back
what
to
I like about this movie, and I'm giving it 3 stars, is the build-up is very much a classic fairy tale. Prince and princess and magical fairy creatures, and there's going to be a big wedding in the kingdom. It's going to unite all the lands, and they'll stop warring. But then, and it is a Disney movie, they cleverly turn it into basically a Marvel superhero movie. Because by the end, you just get a giant CGI battle with exploding things and creatures flying in the sky and all kinds of great battles like you do in the world. So it really is basically a Marvel movie cloaked in a fairy tale, which makes it actually more fun than the first Maleficent, which was just kind of creepy and weird.
Is it truly for the kiddos, or is this more of an
fine.
Adult thing?
I think it's fine for the kids. There's, you know, it's PG. So,
well, I mean, when the guy's slugging wine because he doesn't want to have trouble, the kids are used to that. They see that.
I mean,
the same
I love that touch. So, like, let's have him over for dinner. You just know that's not going to go
right.
well.
It goes all Real Housewives on everybody.
Yeah, so there's it has a nice sense of humor as well. I kind of enjoyed that. And, you know,
sounds
you got
like
Angelina Jolie, Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, it's a terrific cast as well.
Plus, as parents, we look for these types of movies that we can actually enjoy with our kids and let it go, too, not in my sort of...
Yeah.
I don't want my kid to want to go see that because I've gone through Let It Go
once. Exactly, And this is, you know, it's great to look at. The costumes are fun, you know. Angelina Jolie with the horns and everything. I always think Maleficent kind of looks like Cher. You know, there's all the costume changes all the time. You know, five or six in any given hour.
What did the first Maleficent do?
It did big business. It did
so
pretty well here. It's both. It's you know, kids. And then, I mean, it's not a lot. It's not something that the Marvel fanboys and fangirls would see on their own, maybe. But they're really well done. People love the story. And it really did well internationally because, you know, it's set in this kind of, you know, alternate universe of the past. It's you know, very universal. These stories, they're all based on fairy tales that are from 600 years ago out of, you know, Europe and Turkey, or if you will, I don't know, whatever countries are in the news.
Love them.
So, yeah, it did huge business. That's the reason, because I thought, well, the story was kind of told, but they figured out a fun way to get it back. And Angelina Jolie still got that movie star presence, even with the horns and the wings and everything, which I believe she had to have put on. I don't think she came with the wings.
I'm not sure about
that. The magical creature.
I'm not sure.
Did Brad Pitt put him on her?
Yes.
It's possible.
So she was bad.
She was bad.
Then she's good.
So, you know, the whole thing about Sleeping Beauty was she would be awakened by True Love's kiss, right?
Yeah.
After she turned 16. Well, it turns out that True Love's kiss in this telling of the story is from her mother, from Maleficent's, the one who wakes her up in the original, in the first movie. And so
but
finally
that's not
learns
in the
to
real
have a heart for her.
Sleeping Beauty movie, though.
Well, no, not in the Sleeping Beauty movie, but the Maleficent story has been out there. It wasn't a brand new screen. You know, some screenwriter didn't just come up with this. That character has existed in various. It's just another one of those cool things. Let's see it from the point of view of another character.
Oh. All right. And since all of it's in public domain anyway, right? Because it was
These are based on they don't have to put find like Aesop's great 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 grandkids or you know the Hansel and Gretel Foundation or something like that.
So their syrup is good to go here.
Yeah, we from the Three Bears would like to cease and desist. Do not play our song at any campaign rally.
MGM cannot wait for James Bond to go into public domain. All right, well, good. So you gave it 3 stars.
Yeah,
you liked it visually interesting. And,
it's a great looking film.
All right,
it's really cool, and you know, it moves pretty quickly.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to start rating movies by how many martinis I have to have.
I would say you definitely want to have one. It's also kind of trippy. That's what I like about this, too. It's got some pretty freaky scenes. There's even kind of a tribute to the Red Wedding scene in Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
This. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Watch when they lock those church doors, kids.
Always do.
Even the fairies are like, oh, boy, what's going on? Why isn't there one on the other side of the aisle for this wedding? Spoiler alert.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to find out. So Maleficent 3 stars. We're going to find out about Zombieland.
Yeah, Zombieland 2, Double Tap.
We'll find out about
that. Yeah, you got it.
I'm kind of looking forward to that. And then Paul Rudd has got a Netflix series. We'll hear if that's worth checking out.
I love Paul Rudd. Did I mention that?
Yes, you did. You did that already.
One more time.
All right. Lauren, traffic?
Yes, Roe. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
We continue on here with Richard Roper. We are doing some reviewing here. Richard Roper Reviews, brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland. All right, Maleficent 2, you gave 3 stars to.
Yes.
That is an upset, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't recommend the first one. That's pretty rare when you like the sequel better than the original.
And now Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Bill Murray, they return in Zombieland Double Tap.
Zombieland Double Tap. So 10 years since this one. When Zombieland came out in 2009, it was kind of a fresh take on the zombie genre. You know, it was a lot of dark humor, you know, ragtag band of, you know, kind of thrown together dysfunctional family teaming up to take on these zombies after an apocalyptic occurrence. Since then, we've had a million zombie movies, TV shows, comic books, and some of them have been comedies as well. So the premise is not that fresh. They don't really do a lot new with it. But it is fun seeing Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin all together again. You know, and you know that they were in the original and our and Jesse Eisenberg, who kind of narrates the story, you know, because Abigail Breslin was a child actress. Now she's playing an 18-year-old who wants to kind of break away from the zombie killers and have her own life. Mm-hmm. So it's very bloody, very gory, very, you know, kind of wink at the screen meta, you know, where we know this is a zombie movie. You know, there are scenes like where one character's reading a Walking Dead comic book and it's like, well, this could never happen in real life. This is unrealistic. So it's like having some fun with that. It's super gory. So do not take the kids to this one. I mean, that's part of the fun of this. It's sort of a rock and roll version of a zombie movie. You know, they even give out awards across the country, across the world in this movie for the zombie kill of the week, depending on if you use a combine in a farm or, you know, some creative ways to kill zombies. So people are vying for the zombie kill of the week. Bill Murray, spoiler alert, was killed in the original playing Bill Murray. He was because the joke in that was Bill Murray as Bill Murray was disguised as a zombie. That's how he was surviving. But then, uh-huh, of course, a human doesn't realize that zombie Bill Murray is actually real Bill Murray. So there's a bounty out on anybody who can figure out who killed Bill Murray. But there is a way that they bring him back, and I'll leave it at that. How so three stars for Double Tap, Zombieland Double Tap. If you're a fan of the original, you can wait on this one, though. If you're, you know, it's 90 minutes. It's pretty much the same movie as the original. But it's mostly fun to see the four original.
You like the first one.
Yeah, and it's fun to see Emma Stone, who's got an Oscar, getting right there in it, wallowing in this kind of crazy, bloody zombie movie. Good for her. She's a good sport. Yeah.
She is a good sport.
Fun.
All right, now there's three different things that are premiering here, on one on Netflix, the other one on HBO, and then Amazon has got something here.
Well, why don't I tell you about the Paul Rudd one? Okay. We can always maybe get back to the other ones tomorrow if we have time. And this is the one I think that you guys find most of interest. Everybody loves Paul Rudd, whether he's Ant-Man or he's on Friends, right? And he's another one of those guys who at 51 looks exactly like he looked when he was in Clueless. He never ages. So he's kind of the perfect guy. So Living With Yourself, it's a Netflix series, and it's kind of an interesting conceit. He plays a guy who's, you know, 45-ish, works in advertising. His marriage is kind of going nowhere. And he hears about this spa where for $50,000 you can have this rejuvenating treatment that makes you feel younger, stronger, better, a smarter, better, more improved version of yourself. So he goes in, he gets the treatment. Turns out it's actually a cloning factory and doing experimental clones. And they kill off the original you. But you come out of the thing not knowing that because you're your own clone. Problem is, it goes wrong with Paul Rudd. So his original guy somehow survives. So now he's in the world competing with the better version of himself. He comes home that night and he's already in bed with his wife, who's like, wow, you've never been so good. So he's kind of proud of himself, but also jealous of himself. So it's very, there's a lot, you know, the therapist couch worth of a series. But it's such a great premise to see schlubby Paul Rudd and new and improved Paul Rudd kind of competing to be the one person who gets Paul Rudd's life. I liked it a lot. So 3.5 stars for that one.
Wow. And how much time do I have to commit to this?
I think it's 8 episodes, 8 or 9, but it's setting itself up to have more than one season for sure. It's not going to be, because it's just too funny. But he's great. And I love the technology because it's not showy. But when they're together or when they're fighting or they're talking, it's seamless. It's not like back in the old days when Bewitched, you'd have one person with a wig on playing, you know, the evil twin Serena.
Right. Yeah.
And then they'd have to switch places.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they make good use of the technology without overdoing it. He's not playing a younger version of himself. He's just playing two Pauls. One has a better haircut. One's schlubbier dresser. One has better posture.
You know. If people have not seen, I know you suggested it, but if people have not seen the Between Two Ferns movie that has come out, Paul Rudd almost steals that movie with just a ton of other great stars in it.
Yeah.
So it's really good. All right. Thank you very much, Richard Roper.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate it. We'll see you again tomorrow on this very radio program. But first,